drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for me. Inhale him as thy matchless king through
this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Recognize the True Christ. Today's message is based on Matthew 24, 23 through 34. But let us open with prayer. O God, your constant love reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness extends to the skies, your righteousness towers like the mountains, your justice is deeper than the sea. All find protection under the shadow of your wings. We feast on the abundance you provide. You are the source of all life, and in your light we see light. Almighty God, for your gracious love for us, we praise you. Amen. So now turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24, starting at verse 23. And Jesus is speaking. If anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go. Or look, he is in the inner room, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the power of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the door. Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So we continue with this discourse of Jesus to his disciples on the Mount of Olives concerning the last days. Jesus was answering their questions, attempting to instill in them hope. He knew his life on earth was numbered to just a few days and could sense the doubts many of the disciples were having, especially after what Jesus had told them of the destruction of the magnificent temple, something beyond their ability to comprehend at that time. Now Jesus knows the ways of Satan to cause doubt and fear, and now turns to giving some very practical advice for how the disciples, as well as us in this day, should handle these events with greater certainty. As we go through this passage, try to find it more clarity of your purpose than seeing more confusion. So we begin today with, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out, or look, he's in the inner room, do not believe it. Now, in today's culture, this is the greatest danger because we have become accustomed to our selfishness and easy ways to satisfaction. We want what we want, and we'll defy logic to get it. Jesus had clearly shown his disciples his divinity and how they should be certain that he is the Christ. Capital C here and a little c in the text. But our human nature is easily misled, and Satan wants nothing more than to deceive and cause our destruction. No one should be deceived by the nature of Jesus' coming. It will not be secret or private, but as plain as lightning that flashes across the sky. But in the midst of such tribulation, there will be a temptation to look for false messiahs. What most of us cannot fully understand is that the confusion, fear, and sense of self-preservation we will experience on that day. Many will try to take advantage of this chaos for their own benefit. It could be religious leaders, politicians, or world leaders trying to lessen our grip on Christ and to cling to them. They will come from unexpected as well as expected sources. Some will come with big smiles, while others with threats. What we of a nation has fallen the most about is Islam. Since 9/11, we have lost our understanding of the danger it presents. And so very many have rushed to its defense, in the church as well as political circles. When we consider that Christ means anointed one, this could be to any entity that sets itself up as the one and only, a very special one. And I see Islam as the greatest threat to our larger salvation. And then going to verse 27, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of man be. Wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Now Jesus frequently used nature to illustrate his words, and this is another case. Spurgeon explains this as Christ's coming will be sudden, startling, universally visible, and terrifying to the ungodly. We have all been caught off guard from a sudden storm that rattles our nerves. Yes, we knew such a storm was likely, but suddenly that lightning flashes and thunder booms scare us. If we are not aware and watching and waiting, so it will be when Jesus comes. Next, Jesus makes it clear what this means when he says, the coming of the Son of Man. In the Greek, we have a word parousa, which is most often translated into English as coming, and is used only in this chapter in the Gospels, though in the epistles it is used several times of Jesus' return in glory. Its literal meaning is presence, as we find in 2 Corinthians 10:10, but it was used for official visits by high-ranking persons, state visits, and also for divine visitations, hence its technical use for Jesus' ultimate visitation. What Jesus is saying that his return will be no low-key event, but a very grand one. And then we have where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. And this is a difficult statement. It was probably a figure of speech with the idea that when judgment is ripe, it will surely come. Eagles are opportunistic feeders and will take a fresh kill as an easy meal. This may also indicate that the opportunistic of the world will sweep in to gather as much as for themselves, even though the chaos and pain is ours. And going to verse 29, immediately after the tribulation, those days when the sun will be darkened and moon will not give its light and the stars will fall, then the signs of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. Several prophetic passages describe the cosmic disturbances that will precede and surround the glorious return of Jesus that are found in Joel 2:10 and Revelation 6:12 through 14 and Isaiah 34:4. This is a fulfillment of God's original plan for humanity. And next we have the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. It is difficult to say exactly what this sign is. It seems to precede his return as described in Revelation 19:11. Perhaps this sign is somehow related to the incredible cosmic disturbances that will precede the great event. Some, in light of the Roman Emperor Constantine's vision, thought the sign of the Son of Man would be a cross in the sky. The Greek word used here for sign is simeon, which is not the word used for an ordinary sign. Some say it is a standard or banner referred to in the Old Testament as a signal for the gathering of God's people. William Barclay puts it as the regular word for the notice about the arrival of a governor into his province for the coming of the king or to his subjects. It regularly describes a coming in authority and power. What can be certain is that it will be something unusual and distinctive. There will be no misunderstanding for believers, and even non-believers will shudder, not knowing the real meaning, but fearing it. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is the fulfillment of the end. Even some of those who believe that most of the events of Matthew 24 were fulfilled in the fall of Jerusalem understand that that is a stretch too far. From the foregoing exposition, it appears that the coming of the Son of Man is not to be identified with the judgment of Jerusalem. And he will send his angels with great sound of trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds. There are those who may be confused at this time. Jesus came at his birth as a human. Jesus comes a second time at the rapture for the church to take the faithful to be with him. What Jesus is speaking of here is the third appearance that is covered in Revelation before the Battle of Armageddon. This is the final appearance of Jesus before he rules the world in might and glory. Those of the true church will not see these events. Going now to verse 32, to the end of this selection. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also you will see these things and know that it is near. It's at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till these things take place. Again, this is Jesus using a natural event to explain his meaning. Being from apple country, we would probably have to say, and use the apple tree in this example, but the meaning is the same. The fig tree has a regular pattern. The leaves appear, then summer follows, and then you see the leaves and you know summer is near. The fig tree was a common fruit tree in Israel. It is mentioned many times in the Old Testament, especially as a description of the abundance of the land. Sometimes figs or fig trees are also used as symbols or pictures. In passages like Jeremiah 24:1-10 and Hosea 9:10, figs or fig trees are used as a representation of Israel. However, most Old Testament references to the fig tree use it simply as an example of agricultural blessing. It seems that Jesus' reference here is not so much on the figness of the fig tree, but on the way that the fig tree follows a reliable growth cycle related to the seasons. This is especially evident when this passage is compared with Luke 21:29-31, which says, when Jesus speaks, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. So you also, when you see these things, know it is near, at the doors. Jesus assured that these signs appeared as he foretold. The abomination of desolation followed by great tribulation followed by signs in the heavens. His return to earth would follow. And when a fig tree buds, there's an inevitable result. Summer is near and fruit is coming. In the same way, when these signs are seen, the coming of Jesus in glory with his church to this world will inevitably follow. Now here we have the advantage. Now if you talk to a city person about trees, leaves, and flowers, they would have no understanding. There is no understanding that the fruit comes from the flower. They would not understand the signs of nature as those who live among them will. When you talk of spiritual things, those who have acknowledged these things will greatly understand, while those who refuse to recognize there is a spiritual element in life will not be able to comprehend. This is our task, to bring light to those who refuse to open their eyes. Will we be welcomed and thanked for our efforts? I much doubt it. As the blind in spirit will prefer to remain blind, despising the good news and choosing to live in darkness, they will curse us, demean us, and actually come to hate us. It is so hard to admit that you have been wrong about anything. Society has attempted to extinguish the church for many years now, and it has been pretty successful. Even some churches have taken their stand against biblical Christianity while they have shifted their focus to more contemporary topics. They are the ones who have deserted the faith, yet will attack any who stand firm. This selection can be pretty much summed up by the following points. First, it was just as Daniel prophesied in Daniel 12:11. The end will come 1,290 days after the abomination of desolation. Jesus assures the agonies of the great tribulation will not continue indefinitely. They will have an end. Second, up to this point, Jesus has given an important outline for end times events. Third, there will arise catastrophes and persecutions, but those in themselves are not the sign of the end. Fourth, there will arise a pivotal sign, the abomination of desolation. Fifth, when the abomination of desolation appears, there are warnings to Israel to flee after the abomination. Sixth, on the heels of the abomination of desolation comes a great tribulation and cosmic disturbances. Finally, in culmination, Jesus will return in glory to the earth. 7 points that lay out a timeline events of what will occur and in what order. So we close today with one much debated point of this passage. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till these things take place. This statement is why Paul and the early church was so convinced that Jesus would come again during their lifetime. This statement of Jesus is one of the central reasons many have looked for, or most of all the events in this chapel, to have been fulfilled in AD 70, approximately 40 years after Jesus spoke these words. The generation Jesus meant cannot be the generation of the disciples because they never saw Jesus return in glory as described in Matthew 24:30. It is undoubtedly the generation that sees these signs. These events and Jesus' return won't be on some 1,000-year timetable, but will happen in succession. It has been suggested that the word generation could also be translated race, and is a promise that the Jewish race would not be extinguished and would survive to the end. This would be a valuable promise. This race, in other words, the Jews, shall not cease from being a distinct people till all the counsels of God relative to them and the Gentiles be fulfilled. Remember, Matthew and much of the early church were Jewish, and Matthew especially has a Jewish bias. It took quite a while and much discussion before Gentile Christians were accepted fully. There are still those who say we must become Jewish before we can see heaven. Others say the church has replaced the Jews and that the Jews will not see salvation. All of these are wrong. Do not rely on Scripture as a basis. This is where human experience is allowed to substitute for Scripture. What we have read today is the clear outline of events and is based on faith and not nationality. We also must remember that not all prophecy is to be perfectly clear to us, and we will become sure only when we stand face to face with Christ. Will Jews find salvation? Yes, but only those who acknowledge Jesus as Christ. There are many who believe that in the last days many will convert and preserve the tribe of Abraham as the promised people. So we may ask the same question as the disciples and ask when this will happen. We will find this and more as we continue this series next time. Don't you just hate it when you're watching a TV program and seemingly at the climax and they flash the word continued and the program ends? Well, there is just so much to cover, we cannot do it all in one session. So what are we to do? First, we must be sure that we recognize the true Christ. How can we do that? We have to get to know Jesus as personally as we can. Read his words, determine how they should and do affect your life. When you know Jesus' teaching, it will become harder to accept those false substitutes, for they will all display something that violates Scripture. How will you recognize this? You must know what the Bible teaches, not some self-help book or video that pretends to describe it all to you. Your belief must be an active part of your life. You must live your faith daily. And this is what Jesus meant when he said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Allow Jesus to reside within you and share everything in your life journey with him. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. Now go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Help the suffering. Honor all. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you miss a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. can also find a video of our messages on our website. This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And life, will be forever.